Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, 347-637-3942, 347-637-3942. Dr. Drake, I put that touch on it just for you, brother. Anyway, welcome to the American Allegiance Show. Think about this, American Allegiance Show, that's the title of my program, on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, coming to you live from Ohio, or subarctic Ohio, because it's kind of cold here still, and we're in May, and it's still, I think it was hitting freezing last night, and hopefully things will get better, but, you know, I do live in a northern state, and it's okay, because I love Ohio. I wasn't born there, I was born in California, but Patriot Nation Radio Network, we have a special guest tonight. I am privileged and honored to have. And his name is Dwayne Trello, and he is Uncle Jam. You've probably seen him at different events, rallies, and on TV. I've seen him so many times in the last year, the last 2 years. So I'm honored to bring on my guest. Welcome to the show, Uncle Jam.
Great to be here, Patriot.
Thank you so much. You know, this show was especially made just for you because this is the American Allegiance Show, and this is a Patriot Nation Radio Network. Isn't that awesome?
I know. I like that. I like that. And, you know, when we pledge to the flag, we're really pledging to the Republic.
That's right.
That's our nation.
Yes. Yes, sir. And I answered Uncle Sam's call by joining the military. Spent 30 years there. And that's what we did. We honored the flag. We saluted the flag. Everything was about the stars and stripes. And that's why I really like what you're doing and what you do. So if anybody doesn't know and you've been living under a rock, Uncle Jam actually is a replica of Uncle Sam, or what we used to call, or the original guy was James Montgomery Flag. And he goes to a lot of events, and if you look at my promo that I put together, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll see him at different events. So tell us about yourself.
Oh, I want to see the promo now. You got me itchy for that.
I think I sent that to you. I don't know if you've unleashed it from your...
I did get a link to the page, but I didn't actually go to the page, so that's my fault.
Okay.
I've been busy today.
No problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do a lot of little artistic things. I do publish books, and so I got some skills from there. But it's not about me today. It's about you, because tell us about your career and what you've done and
it's
how you got
us.
Into being a jam.
It's really about us, though, you know, because we do it for each other. So
yes, sir.
You know, and the fact that you do that is, I mean, I'm just a one-man show. It's the brand Uncle Jam is kind of, just kind of grown organically, but now it's time to go to the next level, you know, and I'm getting people like you, you know, reaching out who have other skills and marketing and the ability to put things together. You know, I throw a YouTube video together sometimes, but basically it's just a template that they give you there. You know, you put in some photos and add some music, you know, little slideshows is all.
Right.
But yeah, with liberty and justice for all, we pledge allegiance to the flag, of the United States of America, and actually those are United Nations, because each state is really a nation,
you know? Yes,
and it's the unity of many nations, and yet we still keep our own statehood. I think that's important, you know. That's, we see that now with what's going on in Florida. They're taking advantage of their state constitution in addition to, you know, the big constitution, as it were.
Right, because we're all united in this country, United States, not Congress or the Senate, we are the people, not them.
Yes, so, and I think that we the people are waking up. You know, there's really most of the people in this country are in the middle, and I hate to say it like that, not really in the middle, but they're not extreme on the real conservative real left, but they're just being quiet. A lot of them are not voting, you know, they're just living their lives. And, but it's anecdotal evidence. But everywhere I go, small community, the Democrats are against Biden. They're against the shot. They're in favor of voter ID. I mean, everybody's rolling their eyes and saying, what are we going to do, you know? And I think the biggest lie, you know, we know the media lies. Okay, mainstream media is lying to us all the time. I think the most important lie, and the biggest one, is this. The truth is we're actually everybody, the majority, we are winning and we're waking up. And the big lie that they're promoting is we're not. We're not really winning. You know, they're trying to make the normal culture and the normal life out there look like their narrative. And everybody's starting to see it's not. You know, you see what CNN's one example. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And it doesn't work out for them in reality, as we saw last week when they had that short-lived paid television that nobody wants to see. And
sure.
And other things they do, and, you know, because this is why they're running away from the policies now for November. So you're exactly right.
Right. And I think I'm just hoping to God that the way to beat global is to get local. Everybody's just got to get involved in the school board. They've got to get involved with the voting precinct. You know, those two important areas. And then, of course, the county commissions and things like that. And get their iPhones out and be there on voting day. Everybody just needs to all be there, including and volunteer to be a poll watcher, you know. I think a lot of people are going to do that. Democrats as well. They want to say, okay, we want to see what's going on too. And then I believe
absolutely
we're going to take it, you know.
I do too, and I think there's going to be a big wave because, things are getting so ridiculous. Look at the gas prices and inflation is going out of control. Who's going to stand for that? And there's no excuses. You know, they can be all smug in the White House and tell you it's your honor and duty to pay the taxes, you know, and all that. But that's how people think. They're affected by this big time.
Sure. Oh, for sure. And we've got to hunker down, you know. We've got to step up to the plate. The men have got to have some gonads, and the women have got to have some ovaries. We need real men and real women to be willing to fight, even if there's only 3% of us.
Right. And like you said, we go out and do things like run for school board. So I interview a lot of politicians, not really politicians, but one of my last ones was a school board candidate. And you get to see, you know, this is America's finish, except next step. Is the person I really admire, and the people that are honest and they want to take back. People have concern for the kids and for the country. Those are the kind of people I won't vote for. So, and it makes sense. Like General Flynn said on one of the programs we had, you got to start local to get global, to get national.
Yep.
It makes a difference.
Yeah, he got that from me, but that's okay.
Did he?
I'm kidding.
Have you guys been together? I know you have.
Oh, we've met a few times, done some selfies, you know. I think a lot of them, been to a few things he was at, you know, that's about it.
So tell us about
there might be other things I can't tell you about, you know.
Right. That's all right.
I'm kidding again, maybe, right? But go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're the guest. I was just going to say something about, I know you travel everywhere. And the first time I saw you was probably, 2 years ago? I can't really remember exactly when, but I think you were in Washington
somewhere. It would be October of 2020 the first Trump rally that I went to was in Ocala, Florida, just before the election. And everybody was all excited, and everybody knew that he was going to win. You know?
Right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some of the bad people knew it, and they took some steps to temporarily postpone what's going to be inevitable, I believe. And we're going to take it back. So,
right.
But, yeah,
because
so that was October, you know.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, well, that was, I believe, in October, and then I went to another rally. The next rally was a week later in the Villages in Florida. And from there, you know, everyone that I could get to, whether if I had to hitchhike, I would, you know. Stop the Steal, you know, of course, after the Steal, Stop the Steal rallies, and small rallies, you know, Trump rallies where Trump wasn't there, but just people rallying, you know, Sarasota, Bradenton, things like that. And then I tried to get to everyone I could. I've missed the last two. They're further away, but I've been active at some things here in Florida. Let's Go Brandon rally in Brandon, Florida, a week or so ago. And just recently, I can't believe I can't remember the name. It's actually going on right now, a tour with Robert Malone and Peter McCullough and some others. And I'll be there tomorrow night and the next night as well for those. And those are important, you know, rather than just a Trump rally where you're just, well, look at me, here I am with, you know, selfies with, you know, at a Trump rally. But then when you actually CPAC and things like this that have a lot of more content and really help people get empowered, and you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. I totally get that.
So I try to break it up a little bit, or mix it up a little bit, rather, and, you know, be as many places as I can. I'm hoping that's going to bump up a level now with the campaign going on, you know, helping other candidates in their respective areas with jingles and songs and copywriting,
great
whatever
idea.
Else, any way I can help, you know.
That's a really good idea. I like that. And I think something happened to you. You got an invitation today, is that, or recently, to go to Mar-a-Lago. Is that true?
I'm sorry?
Have you been to Mar-a-Lago?
I didn't hear you. You're breaking up.
I've been to
Mar-a-Lago a couple of times. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, sure. I've been there a couple of times. Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful place.
I need to get down there. And I saw one rally where you, and I think you gave me the video, where you actually made a statement, and President Trump actually responded to you. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, you mean when, you know, during the, like a shout-out from Trump?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've got three of those now so far. Once I just kind of pointed at him and said, I want you, and he said, thank you, Uncle Sam. The very first time, actually, was at the Villages, and that was kind of what really got me going. He said, because I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm going to dress up as Uncle Sam and go to this rally. He's going to call me out, and I made it to the front row, and then he said, there he is. Come on up here on stage, you know, and everything, and I did. I just stood up. I just pointed at him, you know. You know, Secret Service looking around like, oh, great, we got to get somebody up here again. I just stood up and just pointed at him. He kind of looked at me like, that good move, well played, whatever. That made me feel good. But since then, there's been a couple times. And then Donald Jr., that's actually my favorite shout-out, that's getting one a couple rallies back as well. When he said, he was talking about Biden, and he said he calls himself an elder statesman. What has he fixed? 50,000 people went, nothing except me, and I was standing right in front of him, you know. I said, the election. Anyway,
yes,
he looked at me, he spun around and everything. Everybody laughed, and he pointed at me and said, thanks, Uncle Sam. The only thing Joe Biden has fixed is the election. Turned into a meme that we did together. So I was proud of that. We put a meme together, you know, between the two of us.
Yeah, that was classic.
But, you know,
that was perfect timing.
So now I've a friend of President Trump has told me that he likes me there. He wants me there in the front and center. He understands why I don't stay long. I usually leave after about the first 5-10 minutes of his speech. Just when he starts getting serious, he doesn't need other distractions up there, number one. That's really the main reason I do it. But then the first time I did, I thought, well, you know, I found some kid. And I went to his parents and said, hey, you want to have him take my seat? So now that's kind of a little thing I do. I find some kid and let him have my seat for the rest of the speech. And that always makes somebody's day, you know.
Right.
So I kind of just shuffle out and get out of the limelight there when you do the important stuff. Because at that moment, it's about him. But it's not really about him, but at that moment it is, because he is our leader, and he's leading us, and we, you know, leading against us, against the evil forces, you know. So.
Right. So before we go any further, my producer is asking if he can take your phone off the speaker, if you have it on there.
Oh, I took it off, actually.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, it's the best we got. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Okay.
Sorry, producer.
Hey, I don't let him talk. I just get it. Okay, so you've been probably all over this country. Here's what I want to say. I see Uncle Sam and this thing. Uncle Sam means a lot. Like I said earlier, I joined the military, but that red, white, and blue and the flag and everything really, it means a lot to me. So it's like you're recruiting people. Uncle Sam wants you to join him. This is for America, and I love America. I've been all over the world.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
I've been all over the world.
And it really does stir that up.
Yes.
It stirs up that emotion, you know. And really, in 2008 is when I first put the costume on for a roofing company. I was doing marketing for a roofing company, and 4th of July was coming up in Minneapolis. And I said, you need to get a float or something and red, white, and blue balloons and have Uncle Sam there. I said, I'll get a costume. He said, okay, so we did that. So that was just before, it was 2008, just before the Republican convention, which was going to be in St. Paul there in Minneapolis, where the headquarters are also. So it was time to take the costume back Monday. Well, that weekend, I mean, I'm on my way to the parade and pumping gas and costume. Everybody's coming up to me, you know, happy birthday, you know, where's my income tax and all this other stuff. And everybody wanting selfies. I discovered the magic in it. And so that, you know, over the weekend, you know, it was a Saturday, 4th of July that time. And then that weekend I took, you know, I went into town and then all the bars with real long lines, and the bouncers say, Uncle Sam, come on right, come on, cut through, come on right here, you know. So I realized, well, that's pretty neat, you know. So somebody told me the convention was coming to, you know, that year. So before I took the costume back, I put it on Monday morning, and I went up to the top floor, and I said, hi, I was just wondering if you'd like me to greet the delegates at the upcoming convention. She goes, hold on. Sent me up to the top floor, the main guy who was the event organizer, did Super Bowls and stuff. I told him the same thing, and he said, you're hired. He said, I already got a George Washington lookalike and an Abe Lincoln like doing that. And I said, okay, well. He said, well, how much you want? And it's like 3 days, whatever, 3-4 day event. You know, I said, I don't know, $1,500. He said, fine. And I said, wow. You know, so then I said, well, throw in the Statue of Liberty, throw another $1,500, and I'll get you a Statue of Liberty. He said, okay. So I went back to the office and said, there was a blonde girl there at the office. Said, do you want to make $400? You know, she said, sure. So I was able to, you know, capitalize on it a little bit there and free market my way and make a little bit of money on it. But I, you know, greet the delegates and just freeze, pantomime. Didn't have songs, selfies, and just that kind of thing. I got to help Newt Gingrich and Calista open up a bunch of their boxes of books. They were at a bookstore, things on their books. And, got to chill with Mike Huckabee, who I'd previously written his campaign song for. So all that was just a great thing, and then I pretty much only brought the costume out on the 4th, you know, maybe, for roofing company or something, until Trump's running for a second term, you know, back in Ocala and the Villages. So it's been 15, year and a half now. And then, of course, awesome. When the election was stolen, I had to be there on January 6th. I was there 3 days early. I was there on the 5th, Freedom Plaza, you know. Got a big celebration there. What a great day that was. Both days, super awesome, great days. Great patriot revival, a million of us, you know. A few bad actors up front, most of them not even ours. You know, they try to make that the story, but a million of us know better. And for every one of us that was there, there were at least 80 people back home and our close family and friends who were rooting for us. And so everybody knows the truth. It's not going to go away. Everybody, you know. It's just like anything else, you know, 10, 20 years, you know, we find more about Kennedy and this and that, you know, stuff they couldn't say.
Exactly.
It's all going to come out, and our grandkids are going to be proud of us. So we've got a lot to be thankful for.
And, yeah, speaking of 1-6, I have a friend, actually, maybe a friend, maybe two, that are in that prison right now from Ohio, and one of them is a Navy veteran. He's actually in the Top Gun movie. He's an extra. And they took him and his wife. So the thing is, I also have an attorney friend that comes on my show every once in a while. He's actually a defense lawyer for one of the people in there. And the way they're treated is unreal because, you know, Washington, D.C. is not part of the United States legally, the District of Columbia.
Correct.
So you do whatever
just like the Vatican. And
yes, right.
Yeah, just
exactly.
Like the Vatican and just like Disney for a while anyway.
Yes, right. And those guys, I mean, I feel bad for them. You know, a couple of them have been released already. They've been out, but they talk about how horrific it was and all that. And, you know, and do you know that they have African guards, so they don't care if they beat you or not. They actually get beat. So that's not America. That's not what we stand for. And I almost went to that.
Well, I could have been there. I don't know why. You know, they came to my house. FBI came to my house and everything. And
really?
You see the costume I'm wearing, you know. I said, I'm Waldo. You know, I wasn't inside the building. However, I was up on that media tower, and I'm sure that's a misdemeanor or whatever. You know, if they wanted to, they could have. I almost feel like I should go to them, turn myself in. Hey, you know, you say, here's a picture of me. I was way up in that media tower climbing that thing. I'm sure that wasn't an approved, you know. So I'm just turning myself in.
Yeah.
But I film everything. I keep my iPhone with me, and I what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, you know, and even those that were on the lawn, we weren't supposed to be on the lawn. There was a little green barrier thing, you know, that can let you know, hey, don't come on the lawn, you know. So there were at least, I would say, at least 100,000 people on that lawn. That's easy to be done. But you Google it and look at the actual land area, there's programs for that. You can say, oh, yeah, you can put many people.
Right.
They were all there.
Yep.
That's a lot of misdemeanors, you know. And some of them are just there for that very reason, misdemeanors.
Right. You can't catch them.
And what
catch
about
them all.
Ralph Epps, you know?
Yeah.
He was up there with a megaphone egging people on, and he's driving a golf cart around his property, you know, in Texas somewhere.
Probably FBI, who knows?
So, you know, it's they messed it up. You know, they were looking for the Great Reset, and they were thinking 2025 or 2020. You know, they weren't really looking for it that quickly, but they really – they began to see in 2020 what everybody else is beginning to see. Trump is going to win again. Oh, no. And they're like, okay, we just got to speed it up. Speed it
right.
up, you know. Get the COVID, get this, get that, get that, get the election fixed, speed it up. You know, we can't allow this because there was too many things going on behind the scenes against Google and big tech, antitrust violation stuff that was, you know, being dug into at the early stages, you know, where it's not the news. Of course, the news won't report anyway. So I believe that was the biggest factor in whoever the puppet masters are. It's not just Obama. It's bigger money and deeper, you know.
Yeah, I think it's Pelosi.
Including China.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
But we know better, and we're getting it. So that's a good thing.
It's going to come out. It's coming out.
We just got to keep the faith and
yes,
you know, and I guess really the people not the people who are not sheep, you know, they know the truth. They're conservative. They're not rhinos either. Okay, they know the truth, but they're just sheepish. Huh. Okay, that's my new way to look at this. You know, we need to forget about the sheep for now. Okay, we got to love them, but forget about them. The people of our own, the ones that are liking on Facebook and, you know, and going to the Trump rallies and, you know, all gung-ho, but they're sheepish when it comes down to really making a difference and really being willing to sacrifice something for it, you know?
Exactly.
I'm helping clean out a millionaire's house, and he's a true blue hardtop patriot, but he's building bigger barns, you know, and he doesn't probably spend a dime of his money or his time on things that count for our country. And I hope there's going to be fewer of him and more of the rest of us who are willing to sacrifice our lives, our honor, and our fortune. Supporting things like author David White, that kind of stuff, you know? Seriously. Click here, folks. Help this guy. Really, because we need to get the word out, and then it's like, that is one thing the enemy has a lot more than we do, and that is money. And not so much that they have more money than we do. They have more they're willing to sacrifice and put out there.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's because they have a lot more to lose. They have a lot more to lose, but I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe we have more to lose. I think we do, really. Our freedom's at stake here. The Constitution's at stake, and that's Uncle Sam's birth certificate. So.
Yes. Yes. You got it. Yeah, because it's easy.
I'm 245 years old, you know.
Yes.
I'm 245 right. years old, and I want to celebrate my 250th birthday, which will be 2026. That means Trump needs to be at the helm. He'll be into his second year of his second term. Then I'm going to have a big birthday party.
That's beautiful.
So
well, the other
let me
side
know whatever's going on the 4th of July this year.
Oh, yeah.
I want to pick the best before I start making commitments. So, but it's hard for me. I can't. What do I Google? Events, 4th of July, America, Trump, you know. And so, but whatever's the biggest, I'm sure something with, he's going to be doing something in Mar-a-Lago or maybe up north where he goes up there. But put the word out. Put your ear to the ground. Let me know.
Right, because, you know, think about this. You live in the state. You probably live in the best state in this country. So there's a lot of things that are going on there. And I love the patriotism. I have a lot of friends down there. You probably have the same mutual. I'm not sure, but. And I just love what he's doing. There's no other governor like him. So it's pretty awesome to see what he does and how he does it.
Texas
comes in second. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
They're the people who are taking control.
And I don't see him running as VP.
No, I don't either.
I think he's more likely, you know, because there's two. You can't have two alpha males. Obama wouldn't have picked anybody like him. He had to pick, you know, a Apache.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So,
hey,
you
want to take a call.
Oh, what do you know?
So, okay. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Kevin, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right.
So what do you got a question for Uncle
Howdy,
Dan?
Howdy.
Huh? You have a question for Uncle Dan?
My question
testing
is...
Testing the phone, make sure it really works. But he sounds like he's got a lot of kids there.
That's the dog.
Okay. So what is your question?
My question is there's been a lot of people kind of semi-throwing their hat in the ring for the next election. I'm wondering who do you think really has the best chance of actually getting past the initial process?
David, is that for you?
No, that's for you.
Oh, right now, you know, I think it's too late. I think Trump has got the momentum that he needs. And it's just like a lot of, you know, we really are winning and the media is not showing it. So the media is gaslighting us, making us think that, oh, there's going to be problems with Trump. He's not going to have a good chance. I don't see anybody. I'm wondering who they're planning on having run against myself, you know. But I really don't see anybody else that now, if Trump weren't even in the race, then I would have a few suggestions of people I like. Rand Paul, I think he's awesome. Candace Owens, I think, would make a great president. I mean, there's so many good people. There's a lot of people that I know personally that aren't big, famous people. There's a lot of people in this country that would make good presidents, you know. A president doesn't have to know everything and do everything. He just has to be the right kind of leader that knows he's a servant leader, that knows how to delegate, and is a man of character and competence. And there's a lot of good people like that, you know. However, in the situation we're in, I don't see Trump not running, and I don't really think if he is running that anybody can beat him. I don't know, but I might be wrong. What do you think?
I've even considered moving down to Florida simply because of some things I've been seeing DeSantis doing down there. I mean,
he would have been one of my first choices.
Especially with COVID.
Yeah.
COVID, you know, the way he allowed other things beside the vaccine as, you know, like an actual treatment.
Sure. Prophylactics and things
and
that really work.
Yeah, and standing up for kids not being groomed in school and actually standing up against Disney.
Yeah,
really,
you're
like
right. And you know, some have thought that he might even choose to run against Trump. I think that would be interesting. And I think they could both do it with class. I think they could do it and joke with each other, you know, and say, we want you, the people, to decide. Okay? Yes, I agree with him here. He has a good point. But I would do this one differently. I think, man, that would be awesome. And I think Ron DeSantis definitely has both the gravitas and the common man touch and the articulate nature. And he is a communicator like Reagan. And he's heartwarming, homespun, you know. So honestly, I would prefer him as a president over Trump. But I don't know if he could beat Trump right now. You know, and that doesn't make you not like Trump. I'm just saying there's other people I think could be better presidents than Trump. But when I have to choose between him and Biden, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a double meaning because Biden is a no-brainer, but, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, Colin, thanks.
So, yeah, I'm all for DeSantis. I think it would be cool if he ran against him, but I don't think he will. But there's been rumors about that. Roger Stone talking about it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Thank you for the call,
if he does that, Roger wants to run for governor. So, I mean, go figure. There's a lot of wild cards, I guess, out there. And there's also wild cards from the enemy. That's what we really got to be ready for. Not what they're going to throw at us. You know. They can start another war if they want. And, you know, put us all. All right, well, it looks like they're all going to watch us the elections this time. So, I don't think we can pull this two in a row. You know, I think we can do this again. We've got to come up with something different. Okay, well, how about this? And then there it is. So,
well,
see,
you saw
guys.
What happened in France, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Macron beat, he was 34%, you know, poll rating, and he beat Marine Le Pen miraculously. And they're finding fraud in there, so it's everywhere. So we have to be afraid of
it. Yeah. No, it's everywhere. There's a fine line between our involvement in these other countries and our own protection. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I think the only solution is to start arresting people who break the law that way. No ID. I don't care what your state does or anything. It's up to the. I know it's up to legislators, but that's just a violation. I know it's ridiculous. You know, and here's the thing. I used to vote absentee when I was overseas. I expect my vote to be counted, and that's what makes me angry. This has to stop. This is ridiculous.
Sure.
So. Other than, you know, it doesn't make any sense. This is what really gets my goat. It's just, it's evil, it's wrong. It's a sacred thing. To me, it is. So you can't do that to people. You can't make things normal, and that's what they do little by little. Turn things that are bad, things that are wrong, like, you know, Disney does, or boys that are playing sports. They're making it all seem right, just like the Bible said would happen. And it's happening now.
Oh, yeah. And it really is. The thing is, funny thing is, it's been creeping. It's been creeping that way since the 60s and 70s in terms of television, sitcoms. Back when everybody was watching television, you know, how if the characters in the what we were watching, that was Hollywood's way of telling us, this is what America is like. And so first they were telling us, this is what America's like. They had Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith, you know. And you could find an old TV guide. I love going to flea market and maybe find an old TV guide from the 60s, you know, 65, 70s. And then just go into each day when there are only three channels and go to Tuesday night and Wednesday night and having memories about the shows you used to watch. But it would be interesting is to say, when you go to Andy Griffith, 6 o'clock or whenever it showed up, CBS or whatever, you know, whatever it was, you know, there's a little synopsis of what the show was going to be, you know, and it was always something really, you know, innocent, you know, Aunt B finds a slingshot in Opie's drawer. Ooh, you know, that was always, and, you know, and then you go, you look at a TV guide from the 70s, you know, and you go through there and all the topics are, you know, it could be, you know, the new Andy Griffith, you know, and Aunt B finds a condom in Opie's drawer, you know. I mean, right. It's like, what the heck? You know, everything's changing. And I'm serious. and so all these things have slowly been trickling, going on and on, and I think it's certainly accelerated, yes, you know, but that's probably the pull of anything, you know, like when you're going downhill, like it's faster and faster as it goes down, you know, and so we're coming to a point, and I'm hoping that it's just going to be like a roller coaster, it's going to hit bottom and just swing back up, because I don't know, that's why there's such a mixture of both hope and despair in this, because we see ourselves going down, but we see everybody else knowing it too. So unless, you know, Jesus comes tonight or, you know, bar that, the next 20 years are going to be really interesting, but we've got to be strong.
Yes, exactly. And yes, we have to be strong for each other because here they are. I mean,
right.
They're breaking, like you said, just little by little, they're just eating away, chipping at our morality and everything. And that's, I always say this, the pandemic was the best thing when it comes to what they're teaching your kids in school. I believe that was a boss move by the parents. They saw what was actually happening in the school, what they were teaching, and now that's why they're all running for council and they're getting involved. That's the only good thing.
Well,
yes.
I just thought of something the other day, and I'm going to maybe pursue it here locally, see if I can get it. And I don't know anything about it, but somebody mentioned community school. What is that? I got to find out. Kind of like a cross between, you're allowed to homeschool, okay? And then there's public school. But how about a community school, just a group of patriots in an area where one person's, hey, I've got time to put, you know, I'm a former teacher or whatever, so, and I'm a homeschooler. We have homeschool families and things like that where they have community schools. And the people who are participating, they chip in, you know, for those that are spending a lot of hours, a lot of their time, you know, the actual teachers or whatever, but a lot of volunteers. So who knows? I think that could be a big wave, you know. It's homeschooling for those who just don't have the benefit of mom at home all the time to do it, or dad, you know.
Right, and there are like 10 of them in the town I live in Dayton, Ohio, and it's beautiful. I mean, that's what they're doing. People are pulling their kids out of school because they want their kids to be taught right. We want to learn. Our kids want to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic and history and things like that. We don't want them to read. You know, talk about, have the strippers.
Are you
the male
saying they're doing community schools? Are you saying they're doing community schools now in Dayton? They're doing community schools?
No, they have some, yes. There are some available. My kids are old.
Oh,
they're on their own groups,
like just like, you know, a lot of the churches have small group meetings and things like that. You could have small group schools. You don't need a whole lot. You just a few families that already homeschool that share some of the load, you know, that kind of thing. And then they could add in a few public school kids that are patriot families that want to get out of it. They can say, hey, we've been homeschooling, and you join in with us, and you can slowly learn how to do it yourself. And I don't know. I think the homeschool movement can benefit from this, reaching out.
Right. Yes, if you don't want your kids exposed to that. And this is what some of my guests actually talked about. This is what we need to do. We need to have community schools. We need to raise our own kids. We can't rely on the public school system. We can't rely on teachers, because a lot of these teachers, when I graduated in 2017 from college, they're making these teachers activists. This is very scary. This is really, really frightening, the way they think coming out of college these days. That's the programming they do.
When I was a kid, the school and the television and my parents all told me the same thing, and that created for me a world of safety and a world of security and a world of truth. And now, and through the years, it's slowly getting worse. But, you know, there was prayer in the morning in the kindergarten over the intercom, the preacher, the principal of the school, we're like, good morning, everybody, you know, and they have the pledge, you know, and then on television, the same thing, you know, it was what was true. And the parents would tell you the same thing. And now if the parents are telling you, the kids, the school is saying, well, that's not true. Television is saying that's not true. And so the last 20 years, these kids have been growing up to adults who believe that it's not true. And they're teaching their kids it's not true. And so you really do have, there's been, I believe, an acceleration of people out in the world, in our country, people now that believe lies than believe truth. And I believe more people believe the truth even 30 years ago, you know, even in the 70s
right.
and the 80s. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, see, today, I really watch TV. Here's what I do. I turn on, I have like those old school channels. That's what I watch. I don't know who we watch every morning. We'll watch Leave It to Beaver or something like that. because I can't take it anymore. This is the reason why Joe Biden, I think he was right when he put out the crack pipes, because it's time to start smoking them the way things are going right now. I'm not really serious about that, but so many things are like, you know, the Amish were right. This is what I'm thinking. The Amish knew what they were doing. So they didn't, they're not going to fall like we are, what we could fall. I'm not going to say we are, but this is just, and like I always, the mainstream media is the number one enemy because they're the ones who promote this. And I'm so happy that Twitter is being taken over by somebody who's going to give everybody free speech. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I don't know. I'm really excited about how free that speech is. I mean, does that mean Antifa is going to be able to have a page? And if
I
so,
don't
I mean, that's
so.
Fine. But I mean,
well,
I'm saying, but if not, is that really free speech? I mean, I don't know what is free speech. And you know what I mean? I mean, fire in the crowded
right.
theater or whatever.
Yes. As long as it doesn't cause harm. You know, and those are just thugs. They're hired thugs. People don't do that on their own. It's easier to break something and burn things down than it is to be an honest citizen, apparently, for them. So, hey, we got another caller if you don't mind taking this call.
All right.
Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, Kevin, this is Tom. I'm calling from Salt Lake, Utah, and great show tonight,
right.
sir.
Thank you so
enjoyed
much.
Enjoyed your guest and your topic.
I am.
Thank you.
Hey,
you
got a question?
I just, well, it was just more of something that really resounded with me, and it I just thought, you know, how much more important your comments are nowadays, because, you know, in my community, I was a part of the you know, as a Boy Scout leader, as a Cub Scout leader. And, you know, that's around, but it seems like a lot of the values of the left needed to try and get in and try and do as much damage as they could to that group that was just there to try and be a wholesome training ground for, you know, for the boys, young boys and for young men. This is the place where a lot of them learned things like civics. You know, that I taught the citizenship in the nation and citizenship in the world merit badges, and we just, you know, they kind of destroyed that organization for the most part, and I just think, you know, it's like there's a reason to want to go and be assertive about trying to put down organizations that are trying to teach wholesome values. You know, if you're an organization that's trying to teach wholesome values, it's an affront to people who don't like that. And you would say, you know, people might say, well, you know, people should just let people be people. And that's fine for those people. But there are those in out there that have an agenda to try and destroy those great organizations, you know. So it's the same thing your comment a little earlier about how the programs were much more wholesome back in the day, and you know the society, it just continues to. They continue to fight for more and more base things. And I just think that I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, you know, the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And I think in this world that seems to, it seems to drift naturally towards the baser things in life. You really have to work that. You really have to take a proactive. You have to be very proactive in your efforts and your feelings and your actions. If you don't see somebody that's running for your state or your county, you know, your local government, then you need to run. and maybe just throw your hat in the ring. I loved your comment about community school and getting involved in community. It's interesting. My faith, you know, growing up, you go to church, you figure you have your, you do stuff at home, and then you go to church on Sunday, and the minister gets up and gives a talk, and the Sunday school teacher gives a lesson, and you go home, and people would think, oh, well, I had my church at church. I had my church schooling. I had my religious teaching at church on Sunday. And it's interesting because although my faith has kind of taught this for quite a long time, they had to really evaluate it, and they had to really stress it to us that said, you know, we are a family-centered, gospel-supported church. So we're trying to help you learn that it's your responsibility to teach these things at your home and not just leave them to, you know, not to just leave them to your church on Sunday. So try to really support those things. It's family-centered and gospel-supported or church-supported. And I think sometimes we, because maybe we're not experts in it, we sometimes advocate, I don't know, the duties, because maybe we don't know how to do them very well. But I think there's such a value. It was really more of a comment than a question, but I really appreciate your show and appreciate your guest, Kevin. These are always great shows, my friend.
Thank you very much. So you don't have a question.
Yeah. Well, no, it's good. Your comments were better than a question, really. And I concur.
Right.
I think you hit the nail right on the head in what you're saying. And if we really do need to just we discuss things more, even if it's one person, you know, if one person's out there listening, we talk about it, we encourage each other. When I go to an event or a rally, it's not just my songs. You know, the songs kind of open the people up. It's kind of like the special music before the sermon that prepares their hearts so then the preacher can prepare their mind. But I like to have four E's that I try to do whenever I go somewhere. Trump rallies, I like to get the crowd energized and everything. That's another E. But I want to entertain, then I want to educate, and then I want to encourage, and then I want to empower, you know, because you can be entertained and get your attention, and then you're educated a little bit, you learn something, you're encouraged, you know, your heart chord has been struck. You're like, yes, I want to go out and do something now. And then you need to be empowered. You need to have the information that tells you the answer to that question that we all have. And every stirring speech that these guys get up and give us, we say, okay, what can I do? Even on the day of Pentecost, you know, when the Jews were there and Peter told them about how they were the ones that crucified the Messiah, and they said they were pierced in their hearts. They said, well, what must we do? And that's what we always ask at the end of these things, these rallying cries, you know, what can I do? What can I go home and do now? Rather than just get on Facebook and start liking things and thinking I'm making a difference. You know, not that that isn't okay to do, because with the logarithms anymore, we need to like and share as much as we can, but we can't stop there. Does that make sense? And I want to thank that caller.
Thank you, caller. Yeah, he's still there, but we can move on if you like. Thank you very much, caller. I appreciate the call. You're very articulate on that. I appreciate it. Very deep. Yeah, that was a beautiful call.
Yes,
you hit it right on the head. It's like we're abdicating. That's exactly what we're doing. We're abdicating our responsibilities to the local school system, the local government, to the babysitting with television. And things are not just – I said that to my wife this morning. Look what's going on. Look what's happening with these kids. I can't imagine being a kid right now. Because all we cared about was playing in the yard. We would be out all day. They have to come find us. It's not like that anymore. You used to see kids all over the neighborhood, the block and everything. Occasionally you see that, but you don't see that. It's not like it used to be.
So, and he's carrying his iPhone around anyway. Yeah, and he's carrying his iPhone around. So.
Yes, right. And we didn't have those. We didn't have the slave devices that I call, you know, the phones and things like that. We had to do physical. We had to meet people. We had to go places. And we did more walking and bike riding and everything. And we were just more communicative and together, and that's what we need to be as a country. That we need to talk to each other.
Right.
We need to stop the division between, you know, we need to cancel culture between blacks and whites. All this division is just hurting us. And, you know, some of the cultures are like that. Like a lot of blacks are, they are monolithic in so many ways.
Mulatto?
Where it's actually monolithic. They're hurting their own selves. We as blacks are hurting ourselves when we have groupthink and go along with the narrative. That's the problem. That's one of the biggest problems. And you see the stats for blacks are pretty bad for a lot of things because things aren't promoted that should be. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And people believe things they hear instead of going after it. That's what you got to do. You have to work on this yourself to find out what's going on. And that's not happening for a lot of people in this country, not just blacks, but a lot of people. But I do believe people in general have that sense of morality. There are people that are they don't care. They'll just do whatever they have to for the other side, for their side. But they all know what's really true, what's right.
Yeah, and we really don't, do not live in a racially divided society. We really don't. We actually have.
No, we don't.
We are one of the most.
No.
We have the, I mean, and it doesn't matter where, small town, big town. I mean, I see people of all colors who are jerks, you know. But most people are not jerks, and most people are not, they don't buy this false narrative that the mainstream media, just because they've got the biggest bullhorn, you know, people just aren't listening. And I always get tired of it. I always hated the phrase create awareness. You know, I mean, we've been doing great at creating awareness, but what good is awareness if nobody does anything? You know, and I think we need to stop creating awareness. It's out there. We're all aware, okay? Everybody's aware now. Even the people who don't agree with us are aware of the truth. We've created enough awareness. Now we need, I got to come up with a meme that rhymes with awareness, you know, a careness or something, or do something, do or dare. I don't know.
Put it into gearness. There you go.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
And do something with it. And I think we will. I think we're coming around. People come around. That's good. A good thing. But we're all too aware. You can only be aware of so much. Your brain can only hold so much at any given moment.
Right.
You know, I mean, right now, how many people, how many children were trafficked today? How many people in other countries are, how many terrible things are happening in the world right now that I can't do anything about? How many, all these, you know, and I'm aware. Now, what am I going to do about it? You know, what am I going to do today about it? You know, I didn't need to buy a 12-pack of Pepsi. I could have given that $5 to somebody who could use it better. I mean, it's just anything like that. We got to stop thinking about ourselves, thinking about other people, I think.
Right. And, you know, we give all kinds of money to other countries, you know, over there where the war is. We got so much money, we can give them $80 million every week. How is that even possible? What about us?
Yeah.
That's their battle.
Yeah.
They can deal with that. It's a hornet's nest. It's a hornet's nest.
If I could just have 10,000 of that, you know, the 80 million or whatever it is, just give me 10,000. Uncle Sam will do something with it. I'll do something really good with it, you know, and I'll create some more awareness, by golly.
That's right. And, it's just like the people at the border, it's the same thing. You know, they are not Americans, you know. They're not going to be Americans who are given a free pass. But you treat the Americans. You're going to attack the daylight on us. Yes.
We've created so much awareness now. We've just created don't careness. And
I'd like to. You got it.
It's like ignorance and apathy are everywhere, and I don't know, and I don't care. So,
you know, that's what people do. We're humans. Or a lot of people don't care. They don't go that extra step. So anyway, I don't know what kind of time you have, but if you have to go.
This is a great hour. No, actually, I'm waiting on a call from Lady Liberty, so hopefully she's going to light a torch for freedom right alongside Uncle Sam. But it's been great talking with you. We should do this more. And
yes,
I'm going to start a
podcast. It's my pleasure.
So you're going to have to. I want you to be on my podcast. Uncle Jam's going to start a Jamcast as soon as I find some time. So, as soon as I quit my day job, you know, I'm going to tour the country here in a minute. It'll take a while.
Yes, sir. I have one favor to ask you.
Yes.
I've got a friend who's got a charity who would love to get in touch with. He mentioned Mike Huckabee, his organization. Sometime, if you have that contact, that would be awesome. But, yeah, that's off.
I can look it up. It's been a while. I've got an old number of his campaign manager. But, yeah, I can definitely reach out to him. And he texts me or whatever, you know, on your end. My people get with your people or anything. Let's all vote again. I just can't wait till we all vote again with pen and paper, voter ID. I can't wait till we all vote again. Let's all vote again. Those mail-in ballots should have never been, and all the dead votes coming in at 3 a.m. I can't wait till we all vote again.
You have
all
that apologies deep voice,
to Willie. With all apologies to Willie Nelson.
No,
okay, guys. Well,
you're good.
Check out my songs at UncleJam.us. Spread the love.
Okay, so where else can people reach you?
UncleJam.us. They can reach everything there because there's a little blue button. They can find me on Facebook through UncleJam.us. They can contact me. They can ask me if I want to go to an event or something. You know, there's all that there in one spot. UncleJam.us.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And I'd love to talk to you again and be on your program in the future.
Yes,
Rock,
Mr. White, you are
true. Thank you.
Let's
I
go,
salute
Brandon.
You. Yes, let's go, Brandon.
All right, man. Take care. Love you, bud.
All right, you too. Wow, that was Uncle Jam, Dwayne Schwingel. Great guy. Even though he called me David a couple of times, it's okay. I won't let it go. Okay, so, great man, great patriot, and he's the embodiment of the USA. Come back to the original Uncle Sam that started it all. This guy is playing the part. He actually looks like him. He looks just like you see in the cartoons and everything and the origins. It's incredible. And he does play guitar. He can sing as well. He's got a really deep voice, baritone voice. And he's got a big range. He just loves what he's doing, and he stands up for the right things. In the memory of James Montgomery Flagg. So that's our guest. Great ideas. We had good callers. We had everything going well. And opportunities abound. You never know. These are good people to have. I had to become a Facebook friend of his because I recognized him. That's that guy. I didn't know his name, but one of my friend's friends. And I asked to be a friend, so I had to have him on eventually. And I didn't think about that until a couple weeks ago, maybe a month. But it worked out great, and I love having him on as a guest, and we're going to have another guest that you guys are going to love. And don't forget, James Bostic has a program here, The Conservative Perspective, and Mark El Guapo Hoffman. They're both on Thursday night, I believe, at their programs, and they're pretty awesome people. I try to model myself after them and what they do. They're my mentors, and I'm still in training wheels right now, but things are coming along. Pretty soon I'll be able to go. So, and we have a caller. Caller, can you identify yourself from 916 California?
Hi, this is Ron. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Ron. Oh, my goodness. Well, two celebrities
doing?
On the same show. How are you?
Okay, good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Did you hear Uncle Sam?
No, I did not. I just saw your message, and I said, I'll just call in. So I am I'm winging it. And you know what that means.
Oh, yes. You know, we call it tap dancing, in the radio world. So I've seen it happen so many times. I've done it myself, but I like winging it with somebody else, tap dancing by yourself. Right. So,
okay.
Yes, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ron Edwards. He's one of the guys I really admire and is a mentor to me. and it's a pleasure to have been on the same network at one time with him. But I love your programs. I like the way you talk. You're just right out there. You just come and say things in a nice way. But the truth is deep in you. It's like the force is in you, but the truth is deep in you, and I appreciate that. And,
Kevin,
and the guests
Ron
you have. And, oh, Ron Owens. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
You sound just like him. Ronald Owens. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, you might be on my show next week. Maybe. We'll see. Ronald Owens is a great author. That's fantastic because you have a lot of books that you bring to life, books of the Bible that you make modern, today's news. I love that. That's awesome. So you're out in California. That's why I say 916. Yes.
Yes, yes.
916, so they make them chips. Right, exactly.
916 what?
So, when they make them chips, computer chips. That was
okay.
A rap song, I'm sorry. But Ron, tell me what's going on.
Well, last week there was a major demonstration by Christians. There were some bills that are in the legislature. One has to do, I think it's AB 2223. Essentially, it would, if passed, it would absolve people of criminal or civic penalties if their child dies. I think it's up to a year after birth. So those of us who are lobbying against that legislation, we're calling it the infanticide bill. But the mainstream media and the author of this legislation thinks that that particular characterization is untrue. But how else can you describe it? So anyway, there's about 1,500 to 2,000 people that were at the Capitol last week. It was April 19th, and so we had people demonstrating against that legislation and also against legislation that had to do with, for example, punishing doctors for sharing other types of information that could cure them of COVID-19. And
right.
So we had that robust demonstration at the south steps of the Capitol, and that was at 11 o'clock. And then at the west steps of the Capitol, they had praise and worship that was going on. And then on the north steps of the north side of the Capitol, there's a collection of convoy truckers that were also demonstrating against vaccine mandates. And all that happened on the same day. So I'm happy to report that there is a robust people that are demonstrating against some of the liberal mandates of the California State Legislature.
Yes. You know, and I feel really bad for you guys, for everybody who lives in California, and the things you go through. I can never even imagine. And it makes every other state look good, you know, almost every other state. And, you know, that's my home state. That's where I was born. I was born in north of Sacramento at Bill Air Force Base. And now look where it is. I even did a vacation there in 2016, and things are so much worse now. Things are happening. Like, one of the candidates I had for governor for the last governorship election lost votes. I mean, it was just like everything was rigged. Everything in California is California values, ran by Pelosi and all these other people who suppress everybody else. I mean, it's like a kingdom or something. It's amazing. I feel bad for you guys. I don't know. There are a lot of people that are moving out, and I could never move there because of what's going on. And it's amazing how I don't understand that at all. And the people can't take it back. It's like it's permanently fixed.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
I hear what you're Yeah, I hear what you're saying because I have strongly considered relocating myself. But while I'm here and while those of us are here, we're going to fight this liberal onslaught, because I don't know who's the one that said that there goes California, there goes the nation. So I feel like that we patriots here in this state have to make a stand, because if we retreat, we're going to have to make a stand someplace else in the future.
Right.
And you make a good point. I think that the body politic, the population here in this state, is not center-left. I think it's center-right, and it has always been center-right. The Democrats have stolen election after election after election. And so when people I'm not saying that you or your listeners, but I've heard it said, oh, California is gone, it should fall off in the nation. I mean, when people say that, they're actually cursing this state and the good people in this state, because there are a lot of good people in this state that are fighting what's going on here, and will continue to do so while we're here. But I hear what you're saying. I think it's prudent to have an exit strategy just in case things really go where we're prohibited from leaving the state.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I can see something like that happening. You know, you see those lockdowns in China. Now look at, you know, you never know what could happen over here. And they do have those kind of things, like Seattle. I'll be going to Seattle actually next month for work. So you just don't know.
No. Well, Kevin, you know, there were warnings that the Germans had when Nazism was on the rise, they had warnings. Some of the people heeded those warnings. And some chose to stay there and fight and ultimately gave their lives. And one of them is, of course, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He had plenty of chances to leave Germany. But he stayed there. Matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, but Bonhoeffer, came to New York, and I don't remember the years, but he used to go to Abyssinian Baptist Church, I think the largest or oldest church in Harlem, and he fell in love with gospel music. This German guy,
really?
This German Lutheran pastor, fell in love with gospel music. And he was really influenced by what they called at that time, quote, the Negro Church. But he went back to Germany, and he fought there. And when the failed assassination attempt against Adolf Hitler, when von Stauffenberg, I think I'm saying his name accurately, didn't put the suitcase close enough to Hitler. And because of the thickness of that table, it absorbed most of the glass, and it wounded Hitler and killed other people. But in the aftermath of the reprisals, Hitler arrested a lot of dissidents, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of those who was arrested. And while he was in prison, he still continued to write. He still proselytized some of the guards. He wrote a really great letter that had to do with his niece. I think it was his niece or his sister getting married. And he wrote an eloquent thing about what marriage is. And it was really great, great piece. But, yeah, he and others, they boldly stayed there and they fought. And he gave his life. Others gave their life. And other people did not. They survived it. But whatever God has led people to do, what will God lead me to do? I'm fighting here while I'm here, but it's prudent, as I initially said, having an exit strategy.
Yes, that's awesome. So I got to research that. I have to look at that. That's very, very interesting. I never thought that would ever happen. You never think about those kind of things, but you know, I guess it's how powerful it was to him.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Bonhoeffer and his choice?
Yeah.
And matter of fact, his choice, I think that if he had stayed, I mean, if he had a, I'll put it this way. The fact that he martyred himself, his death spoke volumes more than when he lived. And I'm going to be a little more descriptive on what he went through. Basically, they hung him by piano wire.
Oh,
and
boy.
Right at the time when he was about ready to die, they stopped the healing process. They drenched him with a bucket of water to wake him up, and they did it again. And they repeated, I don't know how many times. And they video recorded it so Hitler can watch with glee. That's the kind of sick man that Hitler was. But yeah, he was when he was hung, it was not like a simple humane hanging. It was something that was very torturous.
Oh boy. So my question to you is, are we headed in those kind of times?
You know,
and I know you know the answer.
Yeah, it's all I know is I look at the signs. They're making it very difficult for good people to live here. The high gas prices, the high cost of living.
Yes.
I was in discussion with someone earlier how they want to, how the governor of Florida would stop teaching LGBTQ and sex ed and all that stuff to kids. I mean, you and I, we have strong opinions based upon scripture that kind of lifestyle is not godly. Okay, we get that.
Right,
but
right.
I think you and I and your listeners would agree, if you want to do that, that's between you and another consenting adult. That's between
right.
you and that person and God, okay? But to actually teach that to kids, that is where even a person who chooses to be lesbian or a person chooses to be gay, a homosexual, I mean, kids should be allowed to be kids as long as they can. Even the teaching of heterosexual sexual relationships to kids is wrong. I mean, you know, when you and I were kids, man, we were playing marbles and playing tag and tetherball and
right.
playing hide and seek. Let kids be kids, you know. But they're trying to indoctrinate children at a very young age, and it's time for all good people, all people, period, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whether you're lesbian,
right.
Homosexual, or straight, whatever, you know, we all should stand up for the innocence of children. And there are a lot of, I think we make the mistake, and I have made that mistake, that there's a monolithic gay community, that they agree with the radical gay agenda. A lot of gays don't. They don't.
Oh, okay.
You know, they see that as an adult issue, and it should be an adult issue, you know. So we may not have common ground insofar as agreeing with their lifestyle, but we should have common ground as to teaching that to children. That's wrong. That's wrong.
I totally agree. It's, you know, here's the thing, and this is what used to blow my mind when I was in the military, was this. We always got training on human trafficking, and we didn't know why. You know, the theory was that, you know, maybe they're selling girls at different places, but that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. They're
mm-hmm.
catching kids, and they're putting them on boats, and they're working in the shops. They're everywhere. But I didn't know that
yeah.
until the last administration pointed it out, and they highlighted what's going on, which was
mm-hmm.
a much-needed thing, and exposing, you know, people and organizations. This is a real deal. These things actually happen, and it opened my eyes up so much. And people actually believe that, just like the same people are promoting, like you were saying with the kids and teaching them this, that, you know, it's not bad, you know, to be a pedophile. Pedophilia is acceptable. everything is opposite of what it should be. Everything, you know, is right is wrong, wrong is right, like the Bible states. This is what we are up against, and the institutions are accepting them. The scary thing about it. The legislation, everybody is. It's just it's evil in our society and our country. And it doesn't, and it's just like, you know, this is exactly what the Bible describes. This is happening. This is predicted.
Yes,
and even animals don't do this. Man has the will and the craziness to make that happen. The animals don't. And you and I think, what in the world is going on? But I have to say, like I told Uncle Jam, when I was in college, this stuff was promoted. So their education system, they're turning people into these. And they're optional. There's so many people in my classes in 2017 that they label themselves, I'm cisgender, I'm lesbian, I'm depressed. All these I am. And I said, why are you labeling yourself? It doesn't make any sense. You're just you. You're going to go to college, but they're buying in. They're deeply thinking in the sand of what they're teaching there, and the professors will push them one way or another. You can't have another opinion except for what the professor says, and they're all being pushed. This is very scary. I saw it with my own eyes, and I pushed back because I was older than the professor. I didn't care. And this is what we're up against. It's really bad in the schools. The schools are awful. And that's like with the community schools. That's a great idea. You have to see what's going on with your kids. Because, you know, yeah, we talked about it before you got on. We talked about that with community schools. And the pandemic, the best thing out of that was that parents got to see what they were really getting taught at home. That was a very shocking revelation. This is why people are going to the school boards. You got the mama bears and the papa bears demanding they stop this kind of teaching. That's probably the best thing about the pandemic, because it's been going on for a while. What are your thoughts on that? Schools, I don't know if you have any. I know you're a newspaper editor kind of guy. You were when you're an author. You don't have anybody in the system, but I'm sure you've seen stories, and I know things like this happen in California. They're probably more open and blatant there.
Well, I don't have the exact numbers, but ever since this pandemic, whatever you want to call it, has happened in the last couple of years, there has been a sharp increase of people, of parents, homeschooling their children. I think that the last 2 years has opened the eyes of a lot of parents, exposing them the power teachers' union has over the educational system, and the forced vaccination of children that has been pushed. That narrative has been pushed, and a lot of parents are saying, "No, this is not going to happen to my child." So there has been an increase of parents here in California who are homeschooling their children. And like I said, I'm not a subject matter expert in the area of K through 12 education, but I've heard this discussed on talk radio here in the state, particularly here in Sacramento.
Yes. Wow. I have to ask you this. What are the fuel prices in your area? And
we'll see the fuel prices. Oh, you're just talking about how much gas is? About a month ago, Kevin, it was about $6.19 for premium. It reached $6.19, and it stayed there for about a good 2 to 3 weeks. And now, last week or so, a couple of weeks maybe, it's gone down to $5.99. It seemed to climax at $6.19. This is in my area. I live about 17 miles south of Sacramento. I have heard and seen through in other areas of the state that gas is considerably higher. I don't have a pulse on what the state average is or what region of the state has the highest gas. I would guess it would be San Francisco or Southern California. I thought I saw $6, $7, $8, $9 a gallon in areas of Southern California. In our area, it peaked, and now it's dropped just a little bit, and it has stabilized.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty high for Ohio, though. But, you know, that's, I understand. I mean, it's California. And, okay, the other thing is, I hear that, is it true that they're forcing people to put, what do you call that, solar panels on the houses there? Is that, I saw that on the news. I'm not sure if that meant the whole state.
I don't know about forcing them. I do know that, and I don't remember the year. It's probably about 10 to 15 years down the road, but the governor did sign a bill that had to do with elimination of, I think, gas-powered engines production. It's like 15 years from now, I think, you know. But, so there is a window. There is a window of opportunity. They don't turn this thing around where it would be a good idea to relocate. Frankly like Florida because I have a lot of fond memories of my dad when he was stationed at Patrick Air Force Base in Florida, Satellite Beach.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I've never really been to that base. Yeah, matter of fact, I think it was Chapel 2 that was in the Cape Heart housing area. My dad was the choir director of that particular chapel. This is between 1967 and 1971. I'm dating myself. I'll be 65 years old next month, so getting up there in age. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I remember your mom on Facebook. She lived to be older. Your grandmother, I mean, incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. She's like 106.
Yeah, my grandmother. Yeah, she went home to be with the Lord on November 20th, 1915. And you're right, she was 106.
Wow, that's really good genes you got working for you. You don't look like you're going to turn anywhere near 60, though. So, hey, I got another caller. You would like to take a question? Since you're my guest.
Okay.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Who's on the line, please? Caller, who's on the line?
Kevin, it's Bob Reineck. Bob Reinecker.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Hey. Good. I just got home. I was out with family because of what's going on here, but I caught just the very end, not to change the subject. Did you guys talk about the Don't Say Gay in Florida? By any chance, when you're talking about the different things the schools are teaching?
What part, I couldn't understand your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just caught it when you guys were talking about what the schools were teaching, you know, about the liberalization of the schools and what they're teaching. Did you guys mention anything about the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida?
Oh, no. Hey, Ron, can you elaborate on that? Or what your thoughts are?
Well, yeah. Basically, again, this is what I have read, and I haven't read too much. But what Governor DeSantis passed has to do with the teaching of LGBTQism first graders, you know, second graders. Come on. And that's what he's saying. And so because of that, he's being labeled as anti-gay bill or anti-LGBTQ. I actually don't mind myself personally. I'm just speaking for me. I'm not a Floridian, and of course I'm not the governor. If you want to call me anti-gay, I mean, fine. You know, I don't think it's a healthy lifestyle, but to me, if you're anti-gay, lifestyle, you're actually pro-life, because you really, it's not a healthy lifestyle. But that being said, it's unfair for them, for his critics to make that characterization or to paint him with that broad brush, because that's not what the bill is saying. He's basically saying, leave kids alone. You know?
Exactly.
That, I remember that song, "We Don't Need No Education, We Don't Need No Thought Control, Teachers,
right.
Leave those kids alone." Don't be teaching them stuff. Let them be kids. You know?
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's only up to third grade. It's not like they're stopping it beyond that, but it's only up to third grade. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And now Disney is all involved in it and everything, and I was just, like I say, I just joined in, so I was just asking for a couple opinions on to see how the rest of the world feels.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's sickening, really. And I ran
it
a little bit about how sickening this society is today. And you're teaching kids, they don't even know. Like the chief reporter was saying, "Well, kids want to know what I did at night." And he's talking about gay lovers. It's like kids don't want to hear that. That's insane,
yeah.
And they're mad about it. People are fighting, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose because it's not right. There's something so wrong about it. They should not know about that yet. At that age, no.
Yeah.
They're not choices.
Well, what about parents that are letting their kids that are 8 and 10 years old dictate sex change operations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even know what life is about yet. So how do they know what they want to be or what the difference really is between the sexes? You know, that's just my opinion, you know. I'm not trying to force it on anybody, but it's just is strange.
Well, you know
to
what?
Me.
Can I be respectful to you, sir?
You're
very not a forceful kind of guy. I mean, they're trying to force it on you.
Exactly.
You
know? Oh, you're right. Yeah. Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at too, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's confusing. Yeah. I'm 75 and a half, and this is all just confuses the heck out of me.
Yeah, I get it. I'm about 10 years behind you. And, I know we commented earlier about my late 106-year-old maternal grandmother, but I don't know, Kevin, if you know this, but my mom went home to be with the Lord last June. And before, and the months and weeks before she went home, she was saying, "This is not the country that I was born in." And I'm speaking to you, sir, being 75. I mean, you've got 10 years on me, and I don't know, maybe a little bit more years on Kevin, but you know when you were born that this is not the country that you grew up in. It's just,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a baby boomer, and what we were taught and what my parents taught me totally different than what kids are being taught right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's
unreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people are getting away from morality. They're twisting morality is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So what's that again, Kevin?
They're twisting morality.
Yeah.
They're expanding the boundaries and making them normal. So people are accepting them. Not everybody. There's a lot of rural kids that don't buy this stuff. I've seen that in college too, you know. It depends where you come from sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you calling from? I'm curious.
Well, right now I'm in Ohio. I'm originally from Ohio. I used to work with Kevin, as a matter of fact. I'm in Ohio because my mother just passed last week. I know I'm going to change subject real quick. I used to be stationed in California, and 98, I was up at Beale Air Force Base, which isn't too far from you in a sense. up on Marysville, Yuba City.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
Sir, my dad was in the Air Force, and he retired in 1977. And when we moved to California, we got involved with the chapel program at Mather Air Force Base.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so we lived, matter of fact, near that base until we relocated to Elk Grove, which is south of Sacramento. But, yeah,
right.
I'm very familiar with the Air Force way of life. My mom and my dad were both in the Air Force when they met, and they married in 1954. And at that time, the lady had to get out of the Air Force. This was in the 50s, of course. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was born
exactly.
on an Air Force base in Japan. I lived off it in Nebraska, Ramstein
uh-huh.
in Germany, Patrick in Florida, Barksdale in Louisiana. So, yeah, I have fond memories
yeah.
going on the Air Force bases and going to sleep, listening to you guys repair those jets.
yeah. Yeah, I was stationed at CAS. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no,
I'm saying I was stationed at
Okay, go ahead.
I was stationed at Castle in 68, which isn't there anymore outside of Merced. And we used to go up to San Francisco and but try to go once a month to look at the other generation out there. We called it the zoo effect. We'd look at the hippies, and they'd look at us. It was like we're each in the zoo just looking at each other, you know, trying to understand what was going on.
So, Ron, are you considered an Oreo?
An Oreo? What does that mean? I think I know what you mean.
You're not black enough for black people?
That's it. Okay, yeah. I've been called that. I've been called Uncle Tom.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
So we need
yeah.
to do a program just
yeah.
on that because I have another guest to invite, and because I wrote a book about that. And I'd like to talk about that on the air sometime, too. So that would be a good topic.
Yeah.
And it's discrimination.
Yeah.
Reverse discrimination. That's what it is.
I was commenting to someone earlier. The way that I was exposed and growing up, you just associate with anybody, doesn't care what color they are or whatever. And that's how I lived. But when I moved to Louisiana in early 1970s, oh man, that was a shell shocking experience. I was exposed
yeah.
to the first time to segregation. And actually, Kevin, my first experience of racism and discrimination with black people against me.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's for the cause. So, absolutely. Yeah, we have to plan that in the future, if you don't mind. Do that. Let's get to something in the near future. So this is like
okay.
talk here, but I'll officially get you on as a guest. And I actually had our other caller on a couple weeks ago. So, and I love my callers, my fans, people that do things like this, people who like the show. And I appreciate you guys coming on. So.
Well, we appreciate you having, and I, sir, I want to, what is your name, the gentleman from Ohio? Bob, I pray that the God of comfort you regarding your
I
mom.
Appreciate that.
I do
Thank
well
you very
know,
much.
We only get one of those, and when they leave, it's a vacuum, it's a gut punch, but
mm-hmm.
I pray that God will comfort you. In this, and the rest of your family.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That was beautiful. So thanks, caller. We're gonna move on real quick, and I appreciate you calling.
Okay. Have a good one. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you listening.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
So.
I guess I should get going to Kevin.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, I'm going to end this.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you coming on and talking. I'm going to get with you later. We're going to have this. We're going to talk about this. So,
all right.
All right. Take care,
Kevin,
sir.
And thanks for accepting my call, and hello to your listeners.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for coming
and
calling
bye.
In. What a great show. So anyway, that does it for tonight. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to call it. Right now, we're going to call this as done, and this is in the books right now. So we've got maybe 4 or 5 calls tonight. I think that was fantastic, excellent. Don't usually get all those that many. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And, you know, help some friends and strangers, I think it makes a better show. But you better be careful when you have a caller call in. You know who they are, and sometimes it can be a disaster. So that's what the screeners are for. Thanks, Bob. You're free to go. Go ahead. You got to leave. Okay, yeah, I'm almost done here anyway. All right. So, yeah, you got to be careful with those kind of things. You have no idea. I've heard some nightmares. Actually, I actually got a call. I don't know what it was. It was 111-111-1111. And I was afraid I was not going to touch that one because you never know. Somebody's disguising themselves. Get random calls from different people. Got a call from Utah tonight, California. Tennessee, different places. I love it. So I'll do the stats for our guest tonight, Mr. Dwayne Schwingel, our guest number one or our guest number two. I haven't done 2 hours for a long time. Guest number two, Robert F. Owens, and he's going to be a guest on soon. We're going to talk about things that are Oreo, maybe not, whatever he's up to. Very talented author. He even does his own audiobooks through the company he works with. So, yeah, I love those kind of people. Anyway, thank you, Dwayne Schwingel with Jam, for being on. What a great, great interview. And I enjoy that. And all the Patriots and all the same guys on here, you'll see Patriots on here. And I thank all my guests that have been on recently. And you make this show what it is, and the audience makes it even better. Together we work, together we have fun, and we listen. And as you notice, I don't, like some people ask me what the questions will be, I don't know. I like to listen. I listen first, then I get the questions in my head. They're better that way because I'm paying attention. I'm listening to the audience, to the guests, and I want them to provoke questions from me instead of me bringing a question out. So Mr. Charles Allen, program, if you missed it, you got to listen to it. I think I still have it up on my page. A career thug, criminal, a murderer even, from New Jersey, the stuff he did, and how he changed his life, how he turned his life around. He went to prison, what it's like there, and how he's living now. So there's a lot of success stories that we think could never happen, but they do, and they can. So with that, everybody, have a good night, and we'll see you next week on the American Allegiant Show. Next week.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.